This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Thank you, Earl. Welcome back. Grant and Danny on the Fan, sponsored by the law firm Condori and Murad. Estate planning, elder law, real estate transactions, probate administration. Their attorneys are always there to protect you and your family's assets. Schedule a free consultation with their team by visiting kmlawyers.com. Be sure to let them know we sent you. That's kmlawyers.com. We're taking you up to 6:30 and overtime, 90 minutes out on the Fan. Your next chance to win tickets to see Joe Coy in D.C. this weekend, tomorrow on this show at 4 o'clock. Danny, you and I very rarely on this program see a story about a meteor that could be an issue and don't cover it. And I thought, even though it's not the double play, we did at least need to acknowledge the news of the day, which is that the chances of this meteor becoming a problem are growing.
December 30th, 2024. Less than a 1% chance. That's 1 in 1,040. January 22nd, 2025, it's a 0.5% chance, or 1 in 190. January 27th, 5 days later, it's now 1.2%, 1 in 83. February 5th, 2025, 1.9%, 1 in 53. February 6th, the day later, it's up to 2.3%. You notice the numbers aren't getting smaller. February 17th, 2.6%, 1 in 38. And now, are you an NFL football team? You've got the same chance of winning the Super Bowl as you do of being an asteroid that hits planet Earth, 3.1%, 1 in 32. Our trend line is very, very clear.
The trend line's troubling.
Yeah.
Because what you're hoping for, just as we're all kind of getting on the same page here, is that this meteor is expected to hit Earth at a smaller rate than it was yesterday, every single day.
Yep.
And the opposite is actually happening.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the details I'm sure that you have in front of you are that this would essentially do more damage than the atomic bomb by like 5x or something like
Correct.
That. I mean, this is the size of a state, right? This no, that's not true. What is this meteor the size of?
I forget.
I think
this
it's like
one.
I want to say it's like 3 miles wide or something like that.
It's enormous. Yeah.
Anything else you'd like to share with us?
Oh no, it's just
from your research.
This is again the numbers and the observation stuff. It's good we can see this one. There are billions, quite literally billions, floating around us that we don't see, that we don't catch in time.
We're tracking them.
No, literally we can't, and that's so essential.
But the ones that are of any kind of issue to us, we track.
Some of them. This one we got. But again, that's a huge issue is the detection part. We got this one, which is very, very
all
nice.
The ones that could ever hit us, we will see coming.
Which, again, is just not correct. It's so essential you say the correct thing,
it's
which
true.
Is we get a fraction of them now. We could see them.
By the way, to your point, though, on what we don't see, I literally, as we're talking about this, and I always have to quantify this with saying, I don't want to make anyone upset, and I agree with what you agree with, and I hate the things you hate. We're all in this thing together, and whatever you believe, I believe. I just saw the headline that 10% of NASA is being laid off, which is just, I'm sorry if you're part of NASA that's getting
laid off. At the same
time,
yeah.
But like we're like talking about, do we see enough of these things? And the chance is up to 3%, and this could wipe some stuff out. 10% of NASA, pack up your bags. Your work here is done.
So your specific details, it's 177 feet or 54 meters wide, which is not miles, but I misheard you a moment ago.
That.
I apologize. Correct me really quick. It's 500 times the energy released from the atomic bomb that destroyed Hiroshima. That's 500X.
So I said 5X. It was
500. Yeah, it's 500X is the main difference there. So, again, this is the as we orbit, as Earth is kind of going around, and it's more or less a circle around the sun, you're sort of tracking at the same time, and you know, a handful of years from now, the percentages of a collision course are going up each and every day.
Which is scary. But the reason I thought we should bring this up, I think you were looking for orbiting or revolving, that circle that we're making around the sun there, is that we do have a plan. Even though NASA is only at 90% of what it was when the dust settles on some of these changes, we do have a plan, Danny. And I wanted you to be calm and know that they're on it. Because we've got one man. And his name is Harry Stamper.
No, we don't. To be clear, we don't have that. Like, it's a fictional character.
Nope, we do. We now know what to do because we saw the movie Armageddon. And so what we would do in this instance,
okay,
if it gets to a point, let's say we get closer and closer, and now we're a year or two out, and the chances of contact are up to like 16%, what we would do is we would get on a jet plane. This is a jet. We would land on the meteor, okay, on the actual asteroid itself. We would, with that jet, send up a nuclear warhead. We would drill to about 750 feet.
It's 177 feet wide, by the way, this thing. You can't land a plane on it.
Well, you certainly could.
I mean, you literally can't. I just want to be so clear.
Yeah.
None of the things you're saying are possible or practical or even from anything other than a mediocre movie.
No. First of all, it's a fantastic film. Yeah,
very
pedestrian
movie.
So bite your tongue. That's how everyone knows you're misguided on this, is when you start besmirching Armageddon.
Yeah.
That's number one. Number two, I'm going to get back to when the adults were saying how they were going to fix things while the children were panicking. So we're going to land on the asteroid. At that point, I'm going to drill, not me personally, although I could do it because I know how to do it because I saw the film, but we're going to drill to 750 feet. That hole that's in that meteor is where we will then inject the nuclear warhead. The warhead gets detonated. We shoot the nuclear warhead into the 750-foot hole. It blows this meteor into two different chunks. If we do that by what we'll call detonation time, both chunks will then go left and right past Earth without touching us, narrowly avoiding our surface. So really what we have to do is we got to land, we got to shoot the nuclear warhead into the hole, we've got to blow up the meteor into two pieces, and everything's going to be fine. This is our plan. It's going to work. Nobody fret.
It's, just to be super clear,
yeah,
not the plan, because it's not a thing. The whole meteor is not 750 feet.
There's a lot of shtick that we do. I actually 100% think we could do this and it would work, just so you know.
I think that's probably the most infuriating part for me, is we did the double asteroid redirection test, or DART,
as
you know.
Does your team even still have a job right now? Have you checked your email?
Yeah, we haven't checked
in a minute. Your team might be out. Might be part of the 10% that just lost.
We might be
game.
Downsized.
Yeah.
But that's the best strategy. Is you catch it in time with a redirection and change the telemetry. The Armageddon plan has never been a thing and never would be.
100% a plan if needed. If you get to a point where there's going to be contact, we don't just sit idly by.
We can DART it. That's so far, we think we may be able to do that.
DART is early necessary stuff.
Okay.
We're way past that when my team gets called.
Right.
When we're doing the Armageddon plan, let's not call it Armageddon.
Can you even get Owen Wilson now? He's too big a star.
The actors in the, that's a film, Danny. That's
it
nothing
is.
To do with this.
It is a film.
Nothing to do with it. But what we do is, we're going to call it the Stamper. The Stamper plan, you bring that into effect when you've got like 17 days, something like that.
Okay.
That's what you're looking for.
So who plays Billy Bob Thornton for us?
Again, that's a movie.
It is. It is a movie. So for the real world applications of this thing, of course, is everyone should be terrified. This is what we should be focusing on. Let's all come together. Anybody who wants to put something in space, enough satellites, enough G's on cell phones, enough of these sort of, frankly, trivial concerns that we all have. Let's save the planet. Let's get everybody on board with this. This is another shot across the bow from the infinite expanse of the universe.
What
saying,
year would this be again?
I think it's, what is it, 5 years from now?
No, it's more. It's more.
I thought it was 2029.
No, it's later.
What's the year?
I don't know. I'm asking you.
Oh, okay.
Is it 2029?
I'm not sure.
Okay.
That's what I thought it was.
Well,
now you got me all confused.
What? We found out last time 18 days in advance. That's what we had.
Okay, it's not an occurrence, though. It was a movie. That you
when
already admitted
happened,
it was a movie.
We had 19 days, and we pulled it off. Now we've got years. In 1998, with less technology.
Sorry, 7 years, 2032.
7 years, thank you.
Yep.
But you know how much less technology we had in 1998 when we found out about this? With 18 days to spare?
Yeah, the special effects weren't as good.
Nothing was as good.
CGI wasn't as good.
And yet, back in 1998, with 18 days to spare, we landed, we had armadillos driving around on the damn thing, and we detonated the bomb. Now, we did lose a good man, obviously, but I think there are other people capable of the task. I've never missed my mark. I won't miss my mark now, Danny. Don't you worry.
Again,
I wanted to bring this up
on
the show
worry.
So that you knew you should not be fretting.
I'm going to worry because the actor that portrayed him is struggling now. You know, like, it's the whole thing's a mess.
But again, you're talking about a movie.
I think that's what you're talking about.
I'm talking about real life.
No. That's yes. The confusion here, is one of us is dealing in reality. The other is a cheesy Aerosmith soundtrack movie.
Yeah, you don't have to do it like that. Just stop with that.
The only way to get through to you is to besmirch that pedestrian movie that the members of the cast actively mock,
they don't,
by the way.
They all loved it.
Well, they don't. Ben Affleck has made fun of it openly in the DVD commentary.
I don't even want to talk about the movie. You know what? I want to keep this on real life and how we would handle it.
All right.
By the way, when you see these stories, what's your actual level of concern on a 1 to 100 scale?
Oh, that's a great question. Like, I'm more concerned about, like, crime out the window.
Yeah, tangible things
like,
that are
like
real.
Like, terrifying. Well, I got
things that are actually going to happen.
Well,
this will not, by the way.
Let me go swing by and see my dinosaur lately.
Will not happen.
It's happened a couple times in our history. But the point is, so yeah, there's more things that are more pressing.
We weren't as far along as we are now. They didn't know 7 years out last time. Two guys weren't sitting on the radio talking about this might happen if we don't do anything.
It is better than it was.
Worst case scenario, before even the Stamper plan, which honest to God would work and could easily be a thing.
It would. Just admit that real quick.
No, it would.
It literally can't work.
If you need me to, I will be the guy to detonate it. Gracie will be Reagan.
I'd love to shoot you in space.
I'll be doing the video.
And just to prove it.
I'll be the guy that stays up there and hits the button.
Yeah.
If every single day you've got to think about my fat ass saving the world.
You do that and you can have as many ice cubes as you want in your ice cream for the rest of your life.
I'll be dead, so I won't get any ice cubes in my ice cream.
You get to come back, don't you?
Did Ari Stamper come back?
No, he had to sacrifice himself for the team or
that's
something?
That's what I'm saying. I'm going to go up there.
Oh, you're
the
guy.
I'm hitting the button. I got to call Reagan and say, Gracie, I know I made you a promise, but I ain't coming back. That's me. That's me in
you're
this
doing
hypothetical.
That. Oh, I forgot how it
And
went.
Now every
it's
day
so
you have to think about me and Willie Sharp's going to talk to you and I'm the most bravest man he's ever met.
Permission to shake the hand of the co-host to the greatest, the most brave guy ever to do it.
All I'm saying is, before we ever got to that, it would never happen. We can shoot a pumpkin 16 miles above the ocean in Hawaii down. Right now, like that. We would just blow this thing to smithereens.
I don't know, man. A balloon befuddled us for a month. I don't know that we can.
I'm just trying to
tell
you.
It ain't that easy is
guy,
the point. I know you're frustrated. I can sense
15
it.
Yeah. Years ago,
mm-hmm.
okay? 15 years ago. I don't know how many details I can get into.
Right.
But like, I knew people that were traveling to like go to Hawaii overnight for these like things where they just shoot stuff out of the sky that no one knows about over top of the water, right? These Tomahawk missiles and all this stuff that they had. This is years and years ago.
Yeah.
If you don't think we could blow a meteor to smithereens, you're crazy. Not to mention, wait till everyone starts working with us on this. Because you know who else doesn't want to die? You
everybody.
Know who else wishes they had their local neighborhood dinosaur to ride around on?
Uh-huh.
China. And Russia and all these other places, we're all working together for the first time.
Yeah, it'll just be a quick collaboration. Everyone will get on board.
Quick collab.
Yeah.
We blow this thing up. We all high five. We get back to tension and hating each other.
Saying you could shoot a pumpkin out of the sky to then this in like a cosmic sense is like saying because you could fold a piece of paper, you yourself could fly off a building. Like, you know what I mean? It's so far and away advanced from what you're talking about.
I need you to acknowledge this is not a real threat. This is not an issue, and zero time should be spent on it by anyone other than NASA. You should not think about this for 1 second ever.
No. This should be not the front of mind, because you got to live your life. You got to take your kids to school and whatever. Someone has to be the grown-up and properly be concerned about giant threats. Not the, oh, gee, they're mad at us. I'm going to boo. No. The end.
Do you know what
cities
the,
at a time? Do you know 500 times the 500. Nuclear bomb.
It's bad, man.
500. And it's a couple hundred feet wide.
Irrelevant and not something that we need to worry about. But, yeah, that sounds scary.
Do you think Washington can win the Super Bowl next year? They're one of 32 teams. 32 cities right now are going, we got a shot.
Way better chance that they win the Super Bowl.
Literally the same number, 1 in 32.
No.
1 in 32.
The Meteor doesn't have Jaden Daniels.
1 in 32. This Meteor's got a cosmic destiny.
Have 5 on it. That Meteor ain't going for 4th and 3 unless every single time in plus territory.
First of all, that thing goes for it every time, and it's going for us.
You think so?
Yeah.
I hope it doesn't have Marcus Mariota under center. They're getting too cute, that Meteor. Hope that's not happening. Did you actually see what they said would be how they would combat it at this point? Stick aside from my whole bit.
Yeah. I mean, it's DART is the early action plan.
No. This isn't even DART. I had no idea about this plan.
I want to pause, and I know what you're doing.
No. I'm not doing
I just
doing
want to let you know that I know what you're doing. You gave yourself
anything.
Away. Your lips are filled with smile. You did talk back to Darius when I was trying to make a point.
I'm
I already
not
know
doing
what's happening.
Anything.
I just want you to know that I know it.
Okay.
Like, you're not putting one over on
whenever
me.
You're ready.
Go, and I'm ready now.
Okay. What they would actually do.
Go ahead, play it again, Darius.
Is they would send.
See?
A oil driller up
telegraph
to space.
The hell out of that. I saw it.
He would land.
It's 177 feet. How would he land?
On the Meteor.
Mm-hmm.
If need be, he would have an armadillo that he would drive to a site, because you're going to land him on a GD iron plate. He's got to go to a drillable area on the Meteor.
Right.
He would get there on his little four-wheeler.
Yep.
He would have to drill to 750 feet.
So the whole thing's 177 feet. How do we do that?
Right. He would drill to 750 feet.
Yeah.
At which point...
Then the asteroid didn't exist anymore, by the way.
He would shoot the nuclear warhead.
Yeah.
Blowing it into two pieces.
Mm-hmm.
One goes to the left.
Right.
One goes to the right. They both narrowly miss Earth. No one even knows it happened. For all you know, this has happened 6 times this month. Because you would never find out about these missions that we're doing.
Doesn't mean we assume that it has happened, though, right? In a movie that they've never...
Some of us know that it has happened.
This forgettable
film.
You're
just not among those that know.
Yeah. But, oh, I see. Like, you're in the know that,
exactly.
That it's gone down a couple times?
Yes. I was part of the 10%.
Do you feel like every time you watch it, it's happened again?
Watch what exactly?
Armageddon, the movie you were openly referencing. You said it's just a movie a couple times before.
But that's when we're talking about a movie.
Yeah.
Now we're talking about reality.
The real stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know we don't go into, like, the whole...
Who you're connected to.
The whole politics thing.
Yeah.
Can we just agree to stop downsizing NASA? Like, if you want to not send more stuff up, we could have a nice little debate about that. I'm pro, like, figuring things out, by the way. I want more information. We don't need to settle with what we got. When I think of NASA, I think of the guys sitting in that room just finding stuff like this. I want more of them, not less of them. Can we just all agree to that one? Just that one. And then we could go back to... arguing about stuff.
What I want is when there's something so seismic and so enormous, like the largest problem possible, which would be the end of the planet. Now, this wouldn't be end of planet. It'd just be end of a lot of people.
Yeah, it depends
millions
where it
of people.
Lands.
Right.
Could be the end of us.
Yeah.
Could be the end of some other people.
This could be beyond catastrophic. We don't have a scope for it. Again, 500 times the nuclear
bomb. It
right.
Doesn't matter at all, because it'll never happen.
Okay.
But understood.
I mean, it's happened in our planet's history. It's a little tiny... fraction of an inch in the history of our planet, and there's a whole set of species that don't exist anymore.
The
because
it
of one
happened
of these.
In our planet's history is so irrelevant.
Completely irrelevant. You said it can never happen. It happened once.
There was no one to stop it last time.
Yeah,
we're here now.
We can barely find them now. So anyway, what was my train of thought? I lost it. So we need, when there's something that's so grave and so enormous, I need everyone to stop the crazy thing. Everyone stop doing anything that's not this. In other words, we're going to try to uplink, but shut up. Save all of us. Do this. When you wake up in the morning and you have your coffee, be looking at this. When you have your lunch, be looking at this. When you have your din-din, when you go home at night, you get 8 hours of shut-eye.
What if you don't have a job anymore?
Then keep looking at it. And look at it as with your ham radio. I only care about this.
Yeah.
everything that's not this is a waste of NASA's time. Do this. And if that's met, I'll be fine. See what I'm saying?
Like, I think at NASA, like if we were there today and we walked into the room, we're like, what do you guys think about this thing on the news? They would laugh us out of the room. Like, oh, stop it. Because they know how insignificant and stupid this meteor is. They're not concerned.
They're 100% concerned.
No, they
That's
know.
Why the numbers keep going up.
They know, they're like,
what are they plugging in? They're calculating for bleeps and giggles?
Because they're trying to figure out if something needs to be done and nothing needs to be done. And when something needs to be done, you can make fun of my plan. My plan would work 100%, by the way.
Literally wouldn't.
But they could also just shoot the thing to smithereens.
They'll just shoot it.
And they're prepared to do that at any moment.
They're literally not. They keep in mind.
They've well, done, they're not yet because they don't have to.
Right.
But my point is, we have the technology and the wherewithal to do that whenever is necessary.
I mean,
we would shoot it, it would go away, and it's
you
over.
You know they don't, right?
They don't have it yet. They do, though.
Like, now the joking's over.
Right, let's
you
stop joking.
You understand that they can't yet.
They
redirected an asteroid slightly, and that was a successful test, and that was a huge deal.
I misunderstood. Yes, it's so far away currently that they couldn't do it. My point was when it gets to the danger zone, when it gets to the field, when it's on the football field,
okay.
on the court, then we shoot it down. Right now, it's so far away from the arena that it doesn't even matter. When it gets to us, that's when we shoot it. That's when it goes away.
I'm bewildered. I don't know what to joke anymore. I don't understand.
Bewildered.
The point is, they're doing calculations. They're figuring it out because it's significant. They're not ignoring it. They're doing part of the necessary
it's their
work.
Job. They have to find out when are we at risk of being hit by a meteor.
And there's a 3% chance now. That was 2% a week ago.
For 7 years from now.
Yeah. That's a pretty short amount of time.
It's not going to hit us. And when it does come into fruition that it might hit us, we take care of it.
Hopefully.
Definitely.
Hopefully. Again, not definitely. Such a huge important part that it's not definite. There's a hope. There's a will by some of us who are being mocked by other people. This is significant.
Am I the one being mocked?
No. The mocking is like, we could just blast it with our energy shooters. Ignorant ridiculousness.
That's true.
Preposterous
They're
nonsense.
They're called missiles?
This is what a child would say. If there's debt, why don't we just print $1 trillion and pay them? Said the child. Right. This is your version of that.
My thing exists.
In a movie that sucks. That's an embarrassment that everyone who is in doesn't talk about.
I'm not even talking about that, although that would work too.
Yeah.
I'm just talking about the zapping it, the shooting it, and the
Bailey Zappy?
Yeah, the Bailey Zappy plan. But I just wanted to make sure that you knew you're fine.
I'm literally warm with irritation. Like, I'm sweating a little bit more than I was before because I'm so annoyed.
You
get me on this every time.
The wide receiver market?
I frankly don't want to do anything for the rest of the show.
Well, we're going to talk about the wide receiver market in the NFL next on Grant and Danny here on The Fan.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby.
If you enjoy football, football,
be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys. New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday.
Subscribe on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, Grant and Danny on the Fan, taking you up to 6:30. Thanks for making the show part of your day. The Commanders are looking for wide receiver help. We know that. Let's talk first about T. Higgins, who a lot of people thought would hit the free agency pile in the open market. Not looking likely. The Bengals are probably going to tag him for the second time in as many years. Now, the way the franchise tag works, you get that first tag, you get paid the average rate of the top five player at the position. So last year for him, that was around $21 million as a wide receiver, right? Which means if you get tagged again, you get 120% of that number, which is $26 million. So the Bengals, trying to work out a long-term deal with Ja'Marr Chase, trying to tag T. Higgins as well, going to pay him $26 million to stay. Then that boxes you in that you have to get the long-term deal done with Chase because you can't tag two players. Joe Burrow has been very outspoken in demanding that they keep both of his wide receivers.
So, I mean, you look at it. Does anyone remember a couple straight franchise tags and how that might work? I'm trying to remember if anybody around here might. Anyway, point of the dude's story is that's actually a semi-bargain for a year for Cincinnati. I mean, the way receiver contracts are going, Higgins was probably in line to earn almost $30 million, maybe more than that, if they kind of went into the open bidding with everybody else. So they get him for one more year without having to commit long-term. It actually kind of makes sense to me. So maybe, as you say, it boxes them in to have to sign Ja'Marr Chase. I'm going to keep this window going as well. They've also, by the way, said they want to keep Trey Hendrickson. Good luck with doing all three, by the way, top of the market type money. So either way, anybody from Cincinnati shakes free out of that group, I'm intrigued.
Who would you rather keep if you were the Bengals? Because I think if they went to Joe Burrow behind the scenes and asked him, he would probably choose the offensive weapon. But if you're running the show, you've got an edge rusher in Hendrickson who had a career-high 17.5 sacks each of the last two seasons and led the NFL with 17.5. So it's not like that's some random one-off and that's not who he is.
He's a good player, man.
Like, this guy has had 14 or more sacks three of the last 4 years and has gone 17-plus twice in a row as a first-team All-Pro. So would you rather pay him and keep him, knowing, remember, you already have Ja'Marr Chase at wide receiver,
mm-hmm.
or would you rather keep Higgins and have the big three with Burrow, Higgins, and Chase?
So the guy I'm letting go is Higgins of the three. Now, that's assuming that Hendrickson isn't about to hit a cliff and they've got another guy. Obviously, you know, I think he's north of 30, 31 or 32, maybe coming into this season. But productivity like that doesn't just emerge. You've got Chase. Hopefully you'd find somebody that can emerge as a guy opposite him. But you're going to have to pick and choose. You can't have nothing but highly paid guys at the premium positions. And I saw a great graphic the other day. I was trying to pull it up while you were talking, and I couldn't find it again. But as the salary cap has gone up about 135% over the last however many years, I think it's the last decade, multiple positions have gone up more than the regular inflation of the salary cap. Quarterback, obviously. Wide receiver is second. Offensive tackle is third. And then four is kind of a tie between tight end, believe it or not, in terms of salaries jumping up, and then pass rusher.
That one had to happen just because tight ends were so undervalued.
They were the running backs of payment before now. And running back has barely gone up 30-some percent, way less than the marketplace. That may be changing here over the last couple of years. But it's a long way of saying there are positions, and this is helps define my discussion and viewpoint about these positions and how you acquire them. But the fact is that the premium position guys, when they are in free agency, are going to be making huge top-of-the-market money, and the pickings are slimmer and slimmer, it seems like, every year. If a guy's available, whether it's via free agency or trade, at one of those spots, it usually means either something ridiculous has happened or there's a wrinkle there. There's a buyer beware on it.
I just look at the T. Higgins debate for Cincinnati, and I think you have to take his injury risk and health out of it, honestly, and assume this guy's going to be healthy and play 17 games. Because now if you're doing that, it does make it actually really complicated. Would you rather the edge rusher is going to get 16 or 17 sacks, as weird as it sounds, without being a DPOY candidate? Like, the sack totals are there, the pressures are there for Trey Hendrickson, but I've never really thought of him as like T.J. Watt or Myles Garrett. You know what I mean? There's a little bit of Ryan Kerrigan to him. Kerrigan was always disrespected and undervalued. But Kerrigan would put up the huge pressure in sack totals, but was never really viewed. And in fairness, he never had 17 sacks two straight years. But he wasn't on that same level of like feeling like an impact defender necessarily. Whereas Higgins makes Chase better and vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
Higgins makes Burrow better, which is the most important thing to my organization. So I think I'd roll with T. Higgins as well and probably keep him around if I'm Cincinnati. There's also something to just appeasing your franchise.
Yeah.
Quarterback. Appeasing the guy that's quote-unquote running things. Like, they've already bent a lot of their organizational rules. You know, every organization, every group has a philosophy where it's like, we are willing to do these things, But here's where we don't bend. We do not bend on this, and they slide the paper across. We're not going to do this, this, this. They've bent on a bunch of that stuff to pay Joe Burrow.
They did.
And now Joe Burrow is saying, hey, I need you to do this too. And they're going, we don't bend on this. He's going, yeah, but you bent here for me. And now I'm saying this is, you know, indirectly for me too. Are they willing to do that or not? Mm-hmm. Like, we're about to find out. But I think part of this is just to keep him happy. I just don't know. You're paying Chase also. I don't think I would want to do this with two receivers at the same time. I don't have a problem with paying $26 million to T. Higgins. As you said, that's below market value on an AAV.
Yeah.
That's actually good money. But if I'm giving Ja'Marr Chase, making up a number, what is he supposed to get? $32 million a year or whatever, $34 million a year, whatever that looks like, and then $26 million. So now I'm paying a combined nearly $60 million at the, you know, if he probably wouldn't be making 30 plus in his first year. But as a hypothetical in AAVs to those two guys, with Burrow making all that money, how the hell am I supposed to improve this defense? This defense is the reason we didn't win last year. I had Ja'Marr Chase have the greatest year receivers had in a long time last year. I had T. Higgins, and I know he wasn't completely healthy, and maybe I'd have won a couple more games if he was. Burrow just played at an MVP level. Burrow's not going to be healthier. He's not going to be better. He's not going to play at a higher level than he did last year.
We've already had a season for Burrow, too, where he was injury-plagued, and we saw we kind of got that glimpse of the future there.
But I didn't make the playoffs. Right. With Joe Burrow going 40 tutties and you know, close to 5K and all this other stuff, we didn't make the playoffs. I need to improve my defense. How do you expect me to do that? You're giving me no margin for error with draft picks on defense.
That's right.
So I don't think I would be in that business. I think you've got to mix it up a little bit. It can't be all offense like you and I always kind of talk about and say we would want to do. That sounds cool until you actually execute it, and then you become the Bengals of last year.
Right. So if let's say their best player on defense was, I'm just making up a thing, a middle linebacker, I'd say fare thee well. Because it's a pass rusher, I'm kind of saying, no, this is one of my included in the premium. Because the league has told you this is what we value the most. In order, quarterback, protector, pass catcher, pass rusher. That's who's getting paid. Cornerbacks are kind of the next group down, and you know, other offensive weapons sort of in that next tier. And you've got one of the two or three. Maybe Chase is the best, maybe second best, depends on your preference. All fine by me. He's one of the elites. So because of that, I probably can't pay T. Higgins for me. Because I think you already made the case very well. The thing that everybody's looking for, I got it here right now this minute. Otherwise, I'm going to lose Trey Hendrickson for a defense that was already a disaster to begin with. It wasn't his fault that the defense couldn't stop anybody. Again, 17 and a half sacks is unbelievable. You think about how many times also they're playing from behind and other teams are running the football against him.
True.
Just, he is a badass.
But don't you agree that, yes, he's awesome and he's not T.J. Watt.
Totally, yeah.
And he's not Myles Garrett.
Right.
If I had Myles Garrett, yes, I got to pay you. If I had T.J. Watt, I'm sorry, T. Higgins. He's not that. He is a guy that will get me a bunch of sacks. Like, he is a rich man's Kerrigan. Again, I'm Mr. Ryan Kerrigan. I'm a Kerrigan guy. I think he gets slept on. But my point is just, this is more awesome player. He first-team All-Pro. He was one of the best edges in the league. He led the league in sacks this entire season. I get it. I'm just saying, I don't think he is a game wrecker, really.
I think that's fair. I think that's fair. I would say the same about Higgins. I know that, and again, I've always liked T. Higgins. I beat the drum for him since he was at Clemson.
That's a good counterpoint, and he's basically similar on offense.
Yeah, Chase is. Like, right? Chase is the Myles Garrett of offense, whatever, you know, for a terrible comp.
Superstar, yeah.
Yeah, so I guess what I would say is I don't think I would put, I'd have to really, suss it out here, figure out exactly who I like the best in terms of pass rushers, but I don't think I would put consistently Trey Hendrickson in the top two or three or four. But you don't have to go that far down to find him on most people's lists. And you could do a lot worse than that guy. I've seen that, and I think they have too. So if I had to bet, if you're only going to keep two of the three, if it's one, it's Chase. If it's two, I would say one on offense, one on defense, even if it pisses Joe Burrow off.
He's Danny. I'm Grant. You're listening to The Fan. 800-636-1067. You want to hop in. Let's look at the rest of the receiver market. Higgins likely to get tagged at $26 million by the Bengals to set the table. Who are some of the trade candidates? What does the free agent pile look like? What is this wide receiver class going to look like as it pertains to the draft? We'll get to that next on The Fan. Talking wide receiver market in the NFL. Commanders going to look to add some help to Terry McLaurin and Luke McCaffrey. I say those two guys because they're literally the two wide receivers.
Yeah, name the two guys under contract.
There's nobody else on the roster into the beginning of the league year. So Bill Barnwell wrote about the receiver position and broke it into some categories here, including candidates to be traded, players who could get released, six free agents that'll be hotly contended for, and then a best of the rest at the position. So let's go through some of these. First, trade candidates. Danny, let's just go interest or no interest.
Okay.
Tyreek Hill.
Interest.
Nobody more talented, but a gigantic pain in the ass.
I need to know a lot of things, but there's interest.
I am hating myself for saying this in advance. I'm uninterested. I can't
That's not crazy.
What he did at the end of the year, I'm sorry. And he is so good. He almost went for 2,000 yards the year before this one. Two seasons ago.
But now you wonder, is there something else going on? Has the cliff happened? And he's now tried to walk back the things he did at the end of the year? But, you know, it's hard to unsee those deals.
Plus, part of his annoyance with the Dolphins, I believe, is that he wants to be paid, yes? I mean, he's going to want an extension coming up. He is currently on a three-year, $90 million contract. I believe he's only got 2 years left on that deal. But still, cap numbers. You ready for his cap numbers the next 2 years?
Go ahead.
$28.7 million.
Mm-hmm.
So Danny just brought him in. Not terrible. That's high, though. And then your wide receiver the year after that, $51.8
million. I don't think I can do that.
That's a big old cap hit.
I don't know if I can do that.
That one's juicy. So I will pass on that. Deebo Samuel could get cut and be available that way.
Interest.
We both have said, though, we're interested in the player. You're not interested in trading for him.
No. Not at that. Now, if it's a free agent deal or
so we're
if it's
talking
just,
trade candidates.
Yeah, if it's a nominal thing. You know, trade like I get a six, I give him a six rounder or something like that because it's a shorter term, I think, that he's got left.
So if you don't have to give anything up.
Yeah, I'm into that.
I would also be excited to trade for him if I didn't have to give up anything. He's going to probably end up in this category, Danny. Cut candidates. Davante Adams, as he gets ready to be 32, coming off 85 grabs for 1,000 yards and 8 touchdowns.
Interested.
I would kind of love Davante Adams. Now, if you watched the Netflix documentary, you saw that he was a complete diva and didn't treat Derek Carr particularly well. It wasn't Derek Carr, actually, because he wanted to go to Derek Carr. Who was it he was hated? Aiden O'Connell. I think he was
or
kind
Minshew
of annoying,
or somebody?
Too. Yeah. Just generally the way he acted with the Raiders. It was the year before that. It was Aiden O'Connell and Jimmy Garoppolo.
Oh, Jimmy G, there you go.
Yeah, he wanted him benched and kind of got him benched and got the coach fired. But anyway, really good player. I think most of his career he's been known as being a really good dude, too.
Yeah, I mean, the career accolades speak for themselves. I mean, when Derek Carr got benched, he went for, like, you know, 1,600 yards and double-digit touchdowns.
Here's a guy I'm actually legitimately interested in more than any of the others we've mentioned who are Lifetime Achievement Award winners. Christian Kirk of the Jaguars. Victim of his own success a little bit. Breakout season in 21. Jags signed him to a pretty huge contract, 4 years, $72 million. Everyone was shocked by that. He ended up playing every single down. Sixth most routes in the league in 22, went for 1,100 yards and 8 touchdowns, and then he has not been the same since. Two seasons, 1,100 yards, bunch of injuries, broke his collarbone in October, so he'll come back from that. Just 20 games over the last couple of years, 2.1 yards per route run over two seasons, still above average, though. He's only 28. I would be in on Christian Kirk opposite Terry McLaurin.
I have a mild interest there. Right. If it's an open bidding and I have to sign the type of deal the Jags did, I'm obviously being hyperbolic, then no thank you. But if this is a reclamation project on the cheap, then yeah.
By the way, let me read this to you from the ESPN piece on the receiver market. Kirk has $16.2 million in unguaranteed money upcoming in the final year of his deal. So that's interesting.
That's not bad, yeah.
It's not guaranteed. You could maybe work around that. Untenable given his recent impact, meaning he's either going to get cut or traded, obviously. But listen to this. Former Arizona coach Cliff Kingsbury, now the offensive coordinator in Washington, raved about Kirk as, quote, one of my favorite players I've ever been around, end quote. The Commanders need to add depth with McLaurin and Luke McCaffrey, but it wouldn't be shocking if Kirk reunited with his old coach to play in the slot for Jaden Daniels. I would keep an eye on Christian Kirk, especially if Cliff Kingsbury is saying he's one of his favorite players he's ever been around. How about that?
Because that's less, you know, a great receiver and more... You know, he's got that that C-word tag that the Adam Peterson company throws around.
What's the C-word tag?
Rhymes with Bub Landers.
The Commander's tag?
That's the one.
Okay. This guy over here. What are we doing? Backstreet Boys are on. Let me cover my ears.
I'll keep it up as long as I can.
At the school dance. I wouldn't mind paying Kirk $16.2 million, honestly, and trading for him and just taking on the final year of the deal. But I don't even know that you need to, depending on how things go on that negotiation. Cooper Kupp of the Rams, a target to be cut, could end up signing on the cheap. Kupp's going to be 32. Did catch 67 balls last year, but only a couple of them in the final month of the season.
So I'm interested. And somebody wrote this, and I'm trying to remember who it was. Maybe in Barnwell. But it was basically the summary was, Sean McVay can only do his magic trick with one guy at a time. In other words, hide the guy, move him around, slot, stacks, different formations, whatever. And so Nacua is better than Kupp is right now. But that doesn't mean that Kupp is bad. See what I'm saying? Like the idea that he has experienced this cliff and he's fallen off and he's no longer a useful player or, you know, nowhere near worth the money, maybe he's over-exaggerating a little bit. So that was a theory that I thought was interesting.
I do too. I mean, if it was really cheap reclamation year society stuff, like 1 year, $5 million, come on over, I'm in. 1 year, $10 million, I guess there's a modicum of interest there. But I would rather go younger with like Christian Kirk or even you know, one of the other guys that could end up being cut that becomes available, which we can get to later on this list. How about Tyler Lockett of the Seahawks, who's going to be 32 years old, down year last year, sub 50 catches, 600 yards. Could be the end of the road for him in Seattle. Seahawks ran the league's ninth most passing-friendly offense on early downs last year in neutral game scripts. He averaged 35 receiving yards per game, his worst mark since 2017, 1.2 yards per route run, narrowly behind the 2017 season for worst of his career.
Yeah, that's a JSN emergence there. That's kind of the culprit.
Agreed, but he completely fell off.
He certainly did. I think both can be true. So, again, it's a mild interest. If he's your wide receiver two opposite McLaurin, I'm not that excited about it.
There's some other names we could go through on the wide receiver market here for Washington. How much of a priority should it be? We'll get into that. 800-636-1067 is the number. Grant and Danny taking you up to 630 on the Fan.